17 on the study of the Acts, verses 1, 2, and 3. We may get to verse 4 tonight, but I kind of doubt it. But we're going to make ye old Christian try. Amen. Acts chapter 17. And we've only been in the study of Acts for the last, 3 years? We keep having to postpone it for something coming up. Amen. And we'll have to be postponing it in a few days here as well. Amen. We never did get started with the tongues study that good. We got started, had two messages, I think, and then we got bombarded by everything else. So we'll get back to the tongue study on Sunday nights as well eventually once we finish building our wall. Amen. All right, everybody at Acts 17, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's read together verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Here we go. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Amen. When it says not a few, that means a whole bunch. Amen. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the praises and the testimonies that we've heard, Lord, how you're working in individual lives, Lord, and collectively how you're showing yourself marvelous to us as Shining Light Baptist Church. Pray that you would give the children over in Patch Club a tremendous time of learning the scriptures and singing the songs of praise. Lord, give us a tremendous time tonight as well as we look into your word. And then as we go to the throne of grace, Lord, and approach you to get those things that we have need of, Lord, and to seek your face for our very needs every day. Lord, I pray now that you'd bless in the message. Lord, help us to be encouraged by what we see as we study the life of Paul and the Acts of the Apostles, and more importantly, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. May we see that it's not just for his day and his time, it's for our day in our time as well. Blessed now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, starting in Acts chapter 17, in Acts chapter 16, we saw Paul's opposition in Philippi. Remember, he ran into the demon-possessed girl, and then he ran into the problem where he cast her out. Lydia got saved. He got put in prison, got shackled, all these things. But the Philippian jailer got saved, and then they wanted to let him out secretly. And he said, no, you beat me openly and publicly, so you got to let me out openly and publicly. And so they had to come and let him out, and they beckoned him to leave town. Now we open up chapter 17, and guess what? Paul is going to go into Thessalonica, and what do you think is going to happen at Thessalonica? Same thing, amen? Same thing. Don't you know that the gospel always gets the same response wherever you go? Some are going to receive it, and others aren't, amen? It's going to happen in your family. It's going to happen with your friends. It's going to happen with your coworkers. It's going to happen with people on the street. It's going to happen on door knocking. It's going to happen in a grocery store. Wherever you go, there are going to be people that receive it and people that don't. By the way, you are some of the people that received it, amen? But for every one of you, there's probably about 5 or 6 others that did not receive it, amen? I remember the day that me and Carmen got saved, February 3rd, 1991. By the way, yesterday was our 24th year birthday. Amen. Our spiritual birthday was yesterday. We're 24 years old in the Lord now. Amen. Doesn't feel like it. Amen. Doesn't seem like it either. Amen. But anyway, when we got that message preached to us, guess what? A whole church load of people heard the same message that we heard. Why didn't they get saved? What am I saying? The message is going to continue to go out. But not everybody's going to receive it, amen? Me and Carmen grabbed hold to it that day. We got saved, amen? And 24 years later, here we still going on like the Energizer Bunny, amen? And so that's one of those things. Opposition Paul faced in Philippi was there. He heads off, or I should say he was ran off, to another location. Now in Acts chapter 17, we're going to see Paul's opposition in Thessalonica. By the way, wherever there is opposition, you know what there also is? Opportunity. Opportunity. Just because there's opposition, there's opportunity. The same opposition that people felt when the preaching went out, when me and Carmen got saved, we saw it as an opportunity. And we took Jesus up on his offer of salvation and eternal life, of freedom. And we got saved, amen. So there was opposition, but it was opportunity for us, and we got saved. In Thessalonica, it's going to be the same way. Back over in Philippi, it was the same way. There was a demon-possessed girl. The demon got cast out of her. Lydia got saved. The Philippian jailer got saved. His whole house got saved. So although there was opposition, there was still opportunity. And people got saved, amen? So we're going to see that here, amen? And by the way, sometimes God brings us opposition just to see if we're going to handle it with godliness. Amen? By the way, just because opposition comes, should we handle it ungodly? What if the opposition is ungodly? Should we handle it ungodly? Did Jesus ever handle opposition ungodly? Never. He always handled opposition godly. So sometimes opposition just comes to see if we're going to handle it godly. Amen. I'll show you a couple of verses here. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. And if somebody gets there before me, raise your hand. 2 Timothy 2, 24. Derek, read verse 24 and 25 and 26.
And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Men have to teach patience, in meekness, instruction, and those that oppose themselves. If God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil if they are taken captive by him as well.
Amen. That was Paul's motto that he's giving to Timothy. But don't you think Paul learned that by experience? Paul learned already, look, I got to be gentle with all men. I got to be apt to teach. I got to be patient. I can't go in here just roughshodding over people. I got to be patient with them. I got to be meek with them. Why? These people, he said, are opposing themselves. He said, and God's got to give them some repentance to acknowledge the truth of the word of God. Amen. By the way, before you got saved, you had to acknowledge the truth too. You had to say, yes, Jesus Christ is right. I'm wrong. I need to be saved. Hell is real. Hell is hot. Heaven is also real. Heaven is sweet. Amen. I had to acknowledge that truth. Amen. And repent. By the way, Paul learned that the hard way. Amen. We don't have to learn it the hard way. Amen. Notice what he says in verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Who is his will? Satan's will. Do you know that every lost person is at Satan's will right now? You know what they want to call it? Their own self-will. Self and devil and Satan is the same. Because what did he say? I will, I will, I will. So everybody that's unsaved is caught in the devil's snare or trap, if you would. Or in other words, like my colleague said it, they're puppets of the devil. Amen. My colleague, a Dutch guy, I began to give him the plan of salvation, telling him everybody that's saved is on this side, and everybody that's lost is on this side, and they're following the devil. And he came back, and he said, so you're trying to say we're puppets of the devil? I said, yep, that's what I'm trying to say, amen. You said it best, amen. You're Pinocchio, you might as well let that nose grow, amen. You better cut them strings and get saved, amen, and get to a new master and cut Geppetto loose, amen. And so guess what? They're puppets of the devil. They're caught by him at his will. And by the way, he doesn't let go easy. It took 2.5 hours for me to get saved. The devil does not let go easy. I did not want to give up at all. Even though I knew hell was real, and even though I knew hell was hot, and even though I knew hell was for eternity, I was still holding on. Sin's got a grip on people, folks. And I hope y'all believe that. People are caught in the devil's snare at his will. And he doesn't let go. The only thing that's going to let people go is the word of God. Amen. That's why we got to use it. It's the word of God. That's what Paul is going in there with. Turn over to Jude real quick. Jude 22. Right before Revelation, you got Jude. And notice what Jude says to our witnessing abilities. Notice verse number 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So he said, you know, some folks, you got to have compassion on them. You got to go up to them and say, man, I know how bad it is, you know, being a sinner and all, you know, like I'm with you, man. I understand that, man. But, you know, there's a better life in Christ. You know, you really need to get saved because, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to die in your sins. And God didn't want that. God wants to have mercy and compassion on you. And some people you got to go to like that. Other, man, you just need to get saved. You sinner. And some people you just got to get in their face. You say, who? God will show you who. I've had to do it before. Now, I mean, you're not going to get mean, but you're going to have to be stern with them. You got to be firm with them. Let them know that God's not going to put up with their foolishness. Some people are just prideful, stubborn, and kind of like. And sometimes you got to use the word of God and gently tell them, look, you're a sinner. You're going to go to hell. That's just the way it is. Amen. You got to say hell is real and you're going to go there. Hey, you know what? You almost died last week, didn't you? You almost died the week before that. What makes you think God's going to keep giving you chances? Sometimes you got to be like that. Amen. So he says some people you got to be compassionate with. Others, he said, you got to save them by fear. Show them that hell is real. And that's where they're going to go. Amen. And that's where they're going to go for eternity. Now, the Holy Spirit's got to tell you who to do it, how to do it. If you do it on your own, you're going to make them mad and they'll probably punch you. Amen. So don't make sure you got the Holy Spirit liberty and license on that. Otherwise, you're going to get punched on the nose. Amen. Come back. Pastor, I did what you told me. I told them they was going to hell and they punched me. Did you get God's approval? No, that's why you got punched. Amen. You better get God's Holy Spirit power. He'll block that punch when they try to punch you. Amen. Like that one time I was getting all up in that one guy's face. Remember that guy? And afterwards, not your dad. Don't tell that kind of stuff. Amen. Oh, yeah, I did get in your dad's face, amen. But anyway, there's another guy. But this guy, he said, you know, I was in prison as a murderer and this, that, and the other. I'm thinking, I'm glad you didn't tell me that before I started talking to you because I wouldn't have told you none of the stuff I just told you. But now since you told me, I bid you adieu, amen. You know, I'm glad I told you that stuff, amen. Hey, I didn't know. But God gave me liberty to talk to him that way, amen. And he gave me liberty to talk to Carmen's dad that way, too. And he finally got saved. Amen. I didn't make him mad, by the way. He didn't just claim it. He loved me even more. All right. So sometimes opposition comes just to see how we're going to handle things, or whether it's going to be godly or ungodly, with grace or with grief, with joy or justification. Amen. So sometimes that's it. By the way, being a missionary is spiritual business, and it always comes with spiritual opposition. Anytime you or I set out to do anything for God, it's going to come with spiritual opposition. Amen. The devil does not want us to advance God's kingdom at all. But my Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. And so we are on the offense, not on the defense. We're not repelling. We're not recoiling. We're not running away. We're on the offense. Amen. And so oftentimes, not all times, when you try to do something godly, spiritual opposition is going to set in. By the way, Satan opposes the missionary's witness, their spouses, their children, and anything spiritual they try to do for God. Amen. So I'll let you know that our missionaries need our prayers. Amen. There's a reason why we have a missionary of the month. So in case you don't pray for anybody else, once a month, there's somebody that you can spotlight and you can pray for. Amen. Notice what Paul wrote over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. Go back over there with me. Now, this is after Paul left Thessalonica, by the way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. And whoever is there first, raise your hands. I can get that read. Amen. Go ahead, Jeremiah. Amen. Notice that. He said after he left Thessalonica on this trip, he said, you know what? I would have come to you once and again. But who hindered him? Satan hindered him. The missionaries are going to be hindered. He said, I tried to come to you, but Satan would not let me get there. Have you ever tried to do something for God, just got setback after setback after setback? I mean, something that you know God wants you to do. I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, this is the will of God. I know God wants me to do that. And every turn you come up there, the phone rings, this happens, somebody butts in, you got to work later. You'd be like, my soul, what happened? What's going on here? Anytime you want to do something for God, Satan's going to try to hinder you. Paul knows that. He's going from city to city to city, and he knows that Satan's going to try to hinder him. But guess what? He's going anyway. He's going anyway. Pastor White, every hound in hell is going to stop you from trying to give the gospel to those kids tomorrow. Why? Because the devil wants those kids. The devil wants to keep those kids kept bound at his will. Not every kid that goes to a Christian school is saved. Amen. And he didn't want those teenagers to hear the word of God. He didn't want those junior hires to hear the word of God. So every hound in hell is going to come to your house tonight to try to get you swayed from that. Leon's probably going to call you. Well, you can only be gone for 15 minutes. So you got to go down. Now I got to worry about that. So now your message is all watered down. Amen. And so all sorts of things can happen. Why? Satan hinders the work of God. And as he went to Thessalonica and tried to go back to them, he couldn't go back. He says, Satan hindered me from coming back. Satan's going to hinder your work, Christian. Mark her down. Katie, he's going to minister. He's going to try to hinder your ladies' class. Going to try to mess up your husband's men's class. Going to try to mess up your teen class. Brad's going to try to mess up your teen class. Everything that can go wrong to get y'all up there on Saturday, mark her down. It's going to happen. Miss Dawson going to try to mess up your ladies' meeting on Sunday. Knows how desperately ladies want. Huh? Saturday? What day did I say? Trying to mess up my day on Sunday. Amen. Trying to mess up your day on Saturday. Trying to make sure every hound of hell is going to come up and get on your case so that you can be hindered and all the other ladies can be hindered. Everybody comes in, ooh, Satan hindered us. Ooh, Mrs. Dawson, what can you do for us? We got beat up. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you now, Satan's going to hinder you, ladies. Everything that can go wrong before Saturday gets here to hinder you before 1 o'clock. Now, I've already let you off the hook. You don't have to be here at soul winning. Otherwise, you say, Satan hinders us. We got to go soul winning. You know, see, I didn't got you off the hook. You ain't got to worry about that one. Amen. So now, you've got up till 1 o'clock to pray, fast, whatever you got to do to get right to get here. Amen. Because Satan's going to try to hinder you. Amen. Somebody's going to have a flat probably. Somebody's going to break down. Some kids are going to get sick. Amen. Not going to have any clothes to wear. Heaven forbid you're not going to have the right purse to go with your shoes. Amen. Everything that can go wrong will go wrong. Amen. Satan uses all kinds of tricks. Amen. Shoes, paint. Paint on the nails, amen. He don't care, amen. Sleepiness, amen. That's real stuff there, amen. All right, so what am I saying? Opposition. So it is with us as Christians, too. Not everyone will receive our witness concerning Christ, but that shouldn't stop us, even though we may be hindered, amen. So let's get into this a little bit here. Chapter 17, go back over to Acts, amen. Just want to let you know, Paul is going on, but he is being hindered at every turn. But he's got to expect that as a missionary, and we as Christians have to expect that as well. Amen. Paul leaves Philippi only to find the same or a similar situation in Thessalonica. First of all, notice Paul's consistent mission. Paul's consistent mission. Notice what he says. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Paul, following the Great Commission entrusted to him, make sure he's going down to every city. By the way, Acts chapter 13, go back there real quick, and you'll see where Paul was called out for this mission. Acts 13, and notice verse number 2. Where's Paul's name at? Yeah, verse 1. Now there were in the church which was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. There's Paul right there. And they, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, notice this, separate me who? Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucus, and from thence they sailed unto Cyprus. Amen. So there Paul got his charge to go and preach the gospel. Amen. And by the way, Matthew 28 still says what? Go ye therefore and what? Teach all nations, doing what? Baptizing them in what? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Doing what? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So the gospel is still there, and that's what Paul's heartbeat is. Amen. And I want you to notice something about Paul's consistent mission. Amen. Because as he goes journeying through here, he's giving out the gospel at each location. But notice the places Paul chooses first. The places Paul chooses. It says, and he passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia. Now, what does that mean? He says, and he passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia. No, he passed through there. He maybe only overnighted there. He didn't spend a whole lot of time in Apollonia and Amphipolis. He passed through there. Because it doesn't talk about him going in the synagogue. Doesn't talk about him witnessing. Doesn't talk about him doing anything. Why didn't Paul stop there and evangelize those towns? God didn't call him. Didn't have liberty. What else? Why didn't he stop at those towns, Brandon? Huh? He had a goal. Amen. Anybody know what that goal was? Reach the Jews. When you think about Paul and the places he went, what names pop to your mind? I must see Rome. What other places pop to your mind? Corinth, Antioch, Athens, bigger cities. There you go. There you go. Paul was always looking at bigger cities. Why neglect small cities? A lot of them didn't have synagogues. A lot of them didn't have Jews. A lot of them didn't have a lot of people. Rose, you going to say something? Didn't have a lot of people. By the way, now y'all might not like this, but do you know how President Obama won the election? Aside from our country being morally depraved, amen. President Obama went into the bigger inner cities and got people. He got people registered to vote. He got more people registered to vote. He didn't go out into the rural areas where mostly Republicans were at. He went into most of the inner cities. He went into the bigger cities. He went to the populace of the people. And he got them registered to vote, and they voted for him. That's how he won. He went into the big cities. He campaigned. He went door to door. You'd actually think he was Bible. Amen. By going door to door and canvassing. That's what he did. He went. He had people going, knocking on doors. Will you vote for President Obama? Will you vote for him? He went into there. He got a lot of Hispanics registered. He got a lot of blacks registered. He got a lot of Asians registered. He got a lot of people that weren't registered to vote, that didn't care less, that could care less, registered to vote. And guess who they voted for? Him. That's why a lot of your big conglomerate areas were all Democratic. A lot of your rural areas were Republican. Paul has the same methodology here. He's going to where the people are. He's going to the universities. He's going to the educators. He's going to the religious guys. He's going to the smart people. He's going to the bigger cities. What's the goal? The goal is, let me get into a bigger city, plant a church there that has resources, that has opportunities, and let me get people called to go and evangelize the smaller cities. That's his goal. That's why he says, I must see Rome. I'm going to Athens. I'm going to Corinth. I'm going to Thessalonica. Thessalonica was a much bigger city than Amphipolis or Apollonia. And so he just passed through there because he says, look, I'm going to go and get the gospel out. I'm going to get a church plant in Thessalonica. Then it's going to be the Thessalonica's opportunity to go and reach their little brethren here at these smaller cities and things like that. Amen. Paul did not stay at Amphipolis or Apollonia, but went straight on to Thessalonica. Amen. Now, he may have given out the gospel there and talked to some people, but he did not stay there. Amen. It says he passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia. They came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. So the places Paul chose, amen. Paul's goal and motive was to reach the bigger city where more people were. He would start a work there, leave a mission-hearted church there. The focus then of that church plant would be for the evangelizing of the smaller areas by the locals that Paul had seen saved and trained. By the way, Brother Mario Loxin is in the bigger city of Cebu, Philippines. And as a result, Leia's brother got saved. Guess who we were able to call to go down to the smaller island? Brother Mario Loxin in the bigger city of Cebu, to take some of his people with him down to the smaller city where Leia's brother is, who's trying to have a fledgling work there, who was neither baptized nor trained. So Mario Loxin, after we called him up, he's going to go down there with a group of guys down to Leia's brother's church area, help him up, get him baptized, train him up, and get that work started down there. And that's what it's all about, amen? And that's what Paul's desire was. Go to the bigger cities, then you have resources to get people sent out to the smaller areas. In our later days of technology, we have run from the people. Everybody wants to plant a church out in the rural areas where ain't no people at. Can I get an amen? When people hear about where our church is at, you know what they say? You down there? Don't you know it's robbers and thieves in that area? Don't you know it's robbers and thieves everywhere?
Actually,
you down in that church? Down in that area? Boy, what? Why'd y'all put a church there? They're the ones that need it the most. What are we going to do? Plant it out in the foothills somewhere where the rich and the famous are? Nobody's going to come. You knock on the door. They look at you like you got two heads. Well, you come to, I don't need a church. I can buy a church, amen, buy my own church and have it in the backyard. This is the place where you need them, amen. And so Paul's desire was to make sure that that happens, amen. And so Mario Loxin is going to be going down to Cebu here very shortly and helping Leia's brother. Notice not only the places Paul chose, but notice the people Paul challenged, amen. When he went there, he came and went to the synagogue of the Jews, amen. Paul's heart was always to see his Jewish brethren want to Christ first. I don't know about you, but when me and my wife got saved, you know who's the first people we wanted to call? Our family. They was the first people we wanted to call. Let them know what happened to us. Hey, we got saved. We called our parents up, told them they got saved, called our sisters and brothers. We told everybody. But first, we started with our family. Paul has a burden. He has a burden for his brethren according to the flesh, which were the Jews. I'll show you a couple of scriptures here, amen. By the way, we too should want to see our families especially get saved, amen. But not stop there. Friends and co-workers and others that we care about as well, amen. And strangers too. Why? Hell is still real, folks. Hell is still real, amen. Go over to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans 1, 16. And notice what Paul says here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Amen. Paul lets you know it should go to the Jew first. Why the Jew first? God's chosen. Amen. What else? What other reason? God's chosen. That's really the best reason. They're God's chosen. Who is supposed to take the gospel to the world? The Jews. What happened that the gospel didn't go to the Gentiles? The Jews refused. And so God put them on the shelf for a while. And then he instituted the local church. That's us. They got the gospel. Paul's heart was still for the Jews, although he's planting local churches. Why? At his heart, he's still a Jew. He's still a Jew in his heart. Amen. And by the way, you should have a burden for your own family. Paul was burdened for his family. Amen. All the loss that you have in your family, you should be burdened for them. Hell is still real, and they will still go there. I don't care how close you are to them, how much you love them. Amen. They still have to get past the repentance of their sin and the judgment of God. And so we've got to make sure that we go to them. Amen. And so Paul had a love. Go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Romans chapter 10. And notice in verse number 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Why, Paul? For I bear them record that they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. How many can attest to that? You got family members like that. Amen. I got them. They sing in the choir. I got them. They're deacons. It doesn't matter if they're divorced, Pastor White, and they're pastors and they're preachers. Some of my aunts are preachers. I said aunts. Amen. And not some of the uncles. Amen. My aunts are preachers, and they want to come out here and preach a revival for me. And I'm like, no, you're not preaching a revival for me because it will be rubble. Amen. And so I've got them in my family. They have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. I mean, and you can't tell them that they don't know God. You can't tell them they're not saved. You can't tell them anything. They are ignorant of God's righteousness, establishing their own righteousness, according to Paul. Amen. And we still have to be concerned about them. Notice what he says down there in verse number 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? Salvation through who? Jesus Christ. You got to bow the knee. You got to repent of sins. You got to understand that I'm a sinner. I repent. There's nothing good that I can do to be saved. It's not my religion. It's not my routine. It's not my ritual. Amen. It's repentance. It's relationship. And it's righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that's going to save me. And most folks can't get past that. They got so many degrees. They got more degrees than a thermometer and think they're righteous, and they're not. Hey, what did Paul say? He says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So he lets them know that the people Paul challenged were the synagogue of the Jews, and these Jews were there, and Paul's goal was to go in there and challenge them, amen? But not just Paul's consistent mission, and we saw the places Paul chose and the people Paul challenged, but notice Paul's consistent manner. Notice what it says down there back in Acts chapter 17. Paul's consistent manner. And notice what it says here in verse number 2. And Paul, as his manner was. Amen. Paul had a consistent manner in being in the house of God. Whether it was the synagogue, whether it was a local church, whether it was a prayer meeting with Lydia, he was going to be with the brethren. He's going to be with the Christians. Amen. Pastor White has this thing that he quotes from. Who is that said at Three to Thrive? Was it Kraft or? Birds. You say it takes three to thrive Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and a Wednesday night. Amen. It takes three to thrive. Amen. Pastor White, I'm sorry, but in 2015, I think we need to revise that just a little bit. It takes three just to survive. It used to be three to thrive. Amen. You could get by with three. Amen. The wickedness of the world wasn't as great as it is now. But with all the promiscuity going on, all the shacking up going on, all the living together, all the gay rights going on, all the immorality going on. Amen. It takes three over here. And now I've got to give this person a lecture and agree with their gay rights. Amen. And Brother Pinkston works with him. I'm sure he'll come in there. Well, you know, people are ridiculing me because I got a husband and I'm a man. And what do you say? And he can't even say, well, bless God, it's wrong. Amen. He can't say that, amen. Just burns your soul that you can't say what's right, amen. Why? It's not politically correct.
You'll get sued.
Yeah, you get sued. Not him. He'll get kicked out of the military. Amen. What am I saying? Hey, it don't take three folks. Amen. It's getting worse. The Bible says evil man shall wax worse and worse. Amen. It's not going to get any better. So you need to be here at least three times a week. Amen. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Amen. Just to survive. Amen. Early in Paul's life, he set out to preach Christ and get involved in the synagogue. Amen. Go back to Acts chapter 9. And notice how Paul started out very early, amen. What am I talking about? Paul's consistent manner. And Paul never wavered until the end when they put him in jail, amen. Acts chapter number 9. And this is right after Paul got saved. Who's got verse 20? Read that for me. 9:20. Go ahead, Pinkston. Paul did not waste any time. As a matter of fact, Paul had just gotten saved, just gotten baptized, and straight away he's preaching Christ to people, that he's the Son of God. Amen. He didn't waste any time. Go over to Acts chapter 13 and verse 5. 13 and verse 5. And notice what it says. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the who? The Jews. And they had also John to their minister. So Paul didn't waste any time. Amen. He was getting the gospel out. Paul's manner was consistent and his preaching was consistent as well. Amen. And notice the service times that he gave. Go back to Acts 17. Paul's service times. He gave them three Sabbath days. Paul, as his manner was, went unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Now, that takes some looking into. Three Sabbath days. Excuse me. Three Sabbath days he stayed there, amen. I like Paul's drive. Paul was not one to quit or give up easily. Didn't he just get kicked out of town for doing this? Didn't he just get kicked out of town and put in jail and beat? Man, talk about resilience. I guess he said, if that jail down the street couldn't keep me, this jail up the street can't keep me either. What's a jail to me, amen? Hey, if I do go to jail, I'll just witness again. It may have another earthquake. Somebody else might get saved, amen? What's a jail to me, amen? He don't care. He's like, look, I don't care if you are Jews. You still need to be born again, amen? By the way, why the Jews? Of course, we know it's going to the first ones. Why not the Gentiles first? It is supposed to be to the Jews and the Gentiles, but why go to the Jews first? That's some of it, amen. Pastor White, we went to Germany. Who's the first people you went looking for? Germans. Americans. Pinkston, when you went to Japan, who you go looking for? Americans. Why did Paul go to the Jews? Familiarity. They understand this book. They understand the Old Testament. Why go to the heathen first when they don't understand? Let me go and see if I can get some folks saved out of this book who Christ is in the Old Testament, and I can get them as allies, and then we can go out to the Gentiles and get them, amen? Hey, when I went to Belgium, I went looking for Americans. I was not looking for any Belgiques at all, amen? I saw them, amen, but I'm like, look, do you speak into, you know, parlez-vous anglais? Americans, any American, can somebody help me read this thing over here, amen? Parlez-vous anglais? I am American. Yes. And they want to talk to you. I don't want to talk. Just tell me what this says so I can get out of here. Amen. Hey, you go looking for people that are like you. And Paul is looking for people like him. Amen. And so he's going over here and three Sabbath days. He's going to read, get in there and try to persuade the Jews. Amen. By the way, Rod Branch, it was 3 months he worked on me before I got saved. Nonstop every week. And I called him up to come talk to me. 3 months. And finally, I got saved, amen. And so I like Paul's drive here, amen. Three Sabbath days, he went in there and reasoned with him out of scriptures. Now notice this, not just Paul's service times, but Paul's scriptural teaching, amen. Notice what it says here. He reasoned in the Sabbath. Oh, that's in chapter 18, amen. He did the same thing over there, amen. Here we go, chapter 17. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. If you're going to try to reason with anybody at all, you better be reasoning out of the word of God. Man's wisdom is foolishness. Man's wisdom will get you in trouble. Man's wisdom, man's words will get you confounded, amen. Use God's word. Don't try to use your own arguments, as whimsical as they may be, as marvelous as they may be, as great as they may sound to you, amen. Your word. Have your because we want to. are arguing, pleading to your doctors of the law. I know, Isaiah. Let's take you back to, let's take you over here. They understood. Herod say, scribes came written. They knew going in. Right now, y'all give me a chance to pray most for Jesus. Friendly. Amen. Amen. The word exhort to preach, a quote, I'm going to leave, read a daily word. There's a quote of an inspiration from the Bible. Several times, let us see him, amen. But let the Bible, amen. Actually, we can read this book all you want. The way everlasting future. The devotion has the power. We will let us of sin and will show us we should not, should well, he long we have to come back to protect us. So I hid in my read God answer if DL falling up. Go run life. Don't take from God and hide his word. Of that I, amen. The word of God is sharper than any, even to the divided. I know the joints in and in Paul has the power to Old Testament in this synagogue to have in every. And but as we go out tonight, make sure our every move that we're going to be hindered on Satan. Satan's going to hinder that. With the Lord Jesus Christ says, oh yeah, how about this? Under everything that Paul had, not run out of town, still always a labor. Now he's going to come shine for Jesus. Amen, folks. We're going to have names here and fees at the top of your list along with that are TDY. Let's break down. Guys, please, Brother P, into the which is needed in our go tomorrow. Satan's going to resolve, continue going on, knowing opposition is right around the corner, but also his opportunity. Lord, help us to take those opportunities and shine for Jesus' sake. Lord, help us to have the compassion that you would have us to have. Help us to have the witnessing zeal that you want us to have. Help us to have that fire that you want us to have. And Lord, compel others about the coming Christ, the King. And Lord, may we see some saved and some we know will reject it. But Lord, in this passage, some believed and some believe not. Lord, we don't determine who believes. We just determine whether we're going to give the gospel or not. And help us to be faithful in doing that. Watch over Pastor White as he preaches tomorrow. And the teens, as they go up there on Sunday or Saturday, Lord, give them a great time. Give the ladies a great time of encouragement on Saturday as well. Bring us back together on Sunday, Lord, ready to rejoice in what we've been able to be a part of throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right, folks, you are dismissed. Break into groups, guys with guys, gals with gals.
Sure.